of the gospel. I am not ashamed of that good news, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I hope you're not ashamed of the gospel. I hope you're letting your lamp shine brightly to all that you see. Well, we want to welcome you today to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We're glad to come to you the same time every weekday. Rabbi Lauren Jacobs and myself, Rabbi Glenn Harris. And Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, where your friendly neighborhood Messianic Synagogue. And you can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. And you'll find some very helpful articles and resources and sound files of some of Rabbi Lauren's really great sermons. And we want to encourage you to go there. We want to encourage you to come and worship with us. We meet on Saturday mornings at 10:30 and again on Wednesday evenings for Bible study at 6:30. Okay, enough about us. Got a really great show for you today. A dear brother in the Lord from Atlanta, Scott Seculo. Scott is the founder and the rabbi at in Atlanta, and he's a radio show host himself. He's got a show called The Messianic Hour. It's a weekly radio talk show he and his wife Judy host, and that's been going since 2007. They're broadcast on over 90 stations around the country, and we're just so delighted to have him on the show with us to talk about how Jesus made him kosher. Scott, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Great to be with y'all today.
Hey, you too. You've got a very interesting story. You and your brother are both strong believers in the Lord and from a Jewish family, and I don't want to tell your story. I'd love to hear, and for our folks listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, hear about how God took this nice Jewish boy in Atlanta and made him kosher. Tell us about your upbringing and some of that, Scott.
Well, you know, I was raised in a typical Reformed Jewish household here in Atlanta, which pretty much meant we went to synagogue on the High Holy Days and celebrated the holidays, but that was about it. Now, I did go to Sunday school, and we called it Sunday school because that's literally the day we had it on, and I actually ended up being a teacher at our synagogue, and during this time growing up here in Atlanta, my oldest brother, Jay Seculo, who's the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, decided one day after going to a Jews for Jesus concert, ironically it was being held in a high school. Things have changed now over the years, and he's having to defend those type things. But he accepts Jesus as his Messiah, and I remember him coming home and telling my parents, and their response was probably unusual, because many Jewish people, when they tell their family, look, I just accepted this guy named Jesus as my Messiah, they'll disown him. And my father basically said, well, you know, Jesus, Shmizus, at least you believe in something. And for many years, Jay was the only believer in our family. And through a series of situations where our family was once very close due to a business situation, literally brother wasn't talking to brother, me being the youngest of four children, I still talked to everyone because I wasn't, quote, in the business. And I remember one day in my life that was very significant when I had a serious car accident. I was 16 years old, hit by a drunk driver, and my car literally, as he hit, I saw and I turned, and the car flipped over three times onto the highway, and I was actually thrown out of the car. And the young lady I was dating at the time, she fortunately didn't fall out to the very end, only suffered minor bruises. But I was literally laid across the highway, Highway 75 here in Atlanta. And the first two cars to see it, one was an 18-wheeler who stopped and blocked the highway. The next two were a registered nurse and a paramedic who had just gotten off duty.
Oh my goodness! And well, if you have to be in a car accident, you may as well have those kinds of folks get in your back.
Exactly, and so I literally was. My parents were told if I made it through the first night, it would be a miracle, and I'd be in the hospital at least 2 months. I was out in 2 weeks, and God supernaturally just, even though I didn't believe in the Messiah, He literally. I saved me. I'm blind in one eye because of the accident. It has some damage to my hand, but everything else is fortunately very good. And I remember Jay made the comment to me. He goes, God must have something in store for you because he could have taken you away.
Wow.
Well, a couple of years passed, and I was teaching at the temple, and I taught comparative religion. And while I'm teaching this, I had a question on Christianity, so I figured who better than to call my Meshuggah, my crazy Jewish brother. And I asked him the question, and after we're done, he said, what would it take for me to believe that Jesus was the Messiah? And you know, I thought for a minute, I said, you know, gee, before the show was even created, who wouldn't want to be a millionaire? You know, as I mentioned, I'm blind in my right eye. My eyesight wouldn't that be neat to get that back? And then I said to him, Jay, I want the family back together like it used to be. And his response was, well, if that's what you want, pray about it. He got off the phone, told his wife it'd be easier for me to get my eyesight back than for the family to get back together. That's how separate they were. We literally did have a birthday party. We had to have three separate ones, one for each brother and one for my father. They would not get together. Well, that night I prayed that, and didn't happen overnight, but within the next 2 weeks, my brothers run into each other at the mall, and my youngest nephew, Adam, runs up to Jay's wife, Pam, and won't let her go. And I'm going, this is interesting. You know, I'm watching things unfold. And through about a year and a half process, my brother Gary invites us over to his house one day, and my brother Jay and his wife, Pam, are there. My mother and father are there. My sister's not there, but she's moving back from New York down to Atlanta. And he tells us that he accepted Jesus as his Messiah. And I remember Jay looking at me and say, Scott, God fulfilled your sign. And I did the old get smart, you know, missed it by that much. And I remember telling my wife, who, by the way, was a good Southern Baptist girl, all the brothers married good Southern Baptist girls, and I told my wife, if I never talked to Jay again, that would be fine. Now, fortunately, yeah, that wasn't the case. And we were getting ready to go on a trip down to Florida. He had a condo down there, and he sent me the keys, and he sent me a book called Yeshua the Messiah. And it wasn't like he goes, you had to read this. He just sent it, and I started reading it, and I was amazed. Being a Jewish kid, I was never taught this. And I remember calling Jay up, and he wasn't doing much. He's only preparing one of the Supreme Court cases. And he stopped what he was ever doing, and he answered my questions. That night, I told my wife, look, I want to go get the Bible and listen to it. I'm dating myself. Listen to it on cassette. Now, not only am I blind in one eye, but I also have dyslexia, so reading was not my favorite thing. And my wife said, well, go to a Christian bookstore. I said, no, I want the whole Bible on cassette. You know, we're taught, you know, the Christians have their Bible, we have ours, neither the two shall meet. My wife convinced me that they had it. We got there. I'm starting to listen, and I'm not listening to the New Testament. I'm listening to the Torah, and I'm hearing things that I never was taught before. What do you mean there was seven of the clean animals that went on the boat? There was only two by two. They made it up, and I went and got my Bible from when I was bar mitzvahed. I wiped the dust off, and sure enough, there it is. And I started seeing things that took place. Well, this is over about a two-year process, and another situation happened, and I asked God for a sign. It's one of those things, if you're a pet lover, you understand this. I had a cat since literally the week I moved out of my house, and he had gotten out of the house when we didn't know it. He was an indoor cat, no front claws, no back claws. And I remember looking for him. We couldn't find him. It poured down rain. And unbeknownst to me, my wife at 2 o'clock in the morning called her parents up and said, you need to pray that we find this cat. Well, unbeknownst to my wife, my prayer to God was, okay, if he's really the Messiah, I want the cat back tomorrow morning completely unharmed. I mean, I had rules and regulations that went along with it. Went to sleep, and I'm a snoozer. Man, that alarm went off. I was immediately downstairs. We had put some food out on the front porch. I looked out, turned the light on. There was a cat eating the food. It's not my cat. I said, okay, well, we'd also left our garage door open a little because we had been selling our house, and we were keeping the cats in there. I said that would be a place for him to go. And I opened the door. And if you know pets, if you're not a pet person, you won't understand this, but animals can talk to you. And this cat, his name was Gizmo, and he looked up at me, and he was, what were you worried about? I had angels watching over me. That's literally what went through my mind. And I noticed, too, that he had three wet spots, one on top and two parallel. And, of course, I'm going, that's interesting. That makes the sign of the cross. Well, I didn't take God for his word on it. I brought him to the vet. Cat's completely fine. That week is Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. We had started to attend a Messianic congregation here in Atlanta. My brothers, I have actually another brother, Gary, who also works with the American Center for Law and Justice. He's also a believer. And they were there, and the rabbi is giving the message. And I hear this voice, as clearly as you and I are talking right now, say, you don't need this. You're Jewish. You'll be saved. And then I heard this voice, very calm voice, say, I've shown you my signs. Now believe in me. And with that, literally, my hand goes up. And God, you know, the scripture talks about the Israel, the Jewish people have, scales over their eyes. Literally, the scales are coming out of my eyes. And as I'm walking down the aisle, God speaks to me and says, I know the number of hairs on your head before you were born. See, I have an interesting situation. I always thought, you know, if a woman wanted to have an abortion, it's her life, she can do whatever she wants. My mom could have had a legal abortion with me because she had a disease called a spastic colon. I thank God they didn't name me after that. And they told her, abort or you're going to go on a kidney dialysis machine. Well, she decided not to abort. And when she had me, she was completely healed of the disease as well. And so to hear those words and God literally dealing with my life right then and there, you know, that was a turning point. Ironically, 2 years later, on Yom Kippur, my mom accepted the Lord and has since then gone on to be with the Messiah. But it's amazing to see how God has used this one family to literally change our lives.
Scott, that is so awesome. And, you know, as you were describing the cat being wet but just in three places, I'm thinking, first of all, you're saying, I want this sign. It's like Gideon. And right. Like Gideon, it's wet where it's supposed to be wet, dry where it's supposed to be dry. But what a wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness, not just to you, but to several of your family members. Now, you and your wife, Judy, you guys met when you were at the university. So now let me see if I get this right. You're married. It's like 1989. You're married. But it was a couple of years before you finally surrendered to Yeshua.
Right. Matter of fact, when we got married, we went to Mercer University, which was a Baptist back college. At one time, I was the student government president, so you have a Jewish president of the student government. My vice president was an Arab from Bahrain, so you had Jews and Arabs running a Christian school. So it was very interesting in that respect. And we got married, and we always said we were going to raise the kids Jewish, but she never told me. She told my brother Jay, we weren't having kids until I became a believer. She knew in her heart that I was going to accept the Lord. And I'd always promised her at our fifth wedding anniversary that we were going to have a real wedding. We ended up having a wedding in front of a justice of the peace with 100 of our closest friends. Unbeknownst to me at the time, we were going to be not only in the wedding business, my parents owned a bridal store, we owned a wedding invitation. I was going to be a believer, too. And so it was really an amazing event. And we're now celebrating 23 years of marriage, and we have a beautiful 11-year-old daughter with that as well.
Oh, Mazel Tov. That's wonderful. Now, in the years since, you've gone on to do a number of things. You founded a couple of congregations, and you're currently you're the founder and also currently the rabbi at Beth Adonai in Atlanta. But you also founded an organization that's reaching out with the good news, talking to both Jews and Gentiles all over the world about Messiah Yeshua, Israel's Harvest Ministry. So you've got your hands in a number of things. Tell us a little about how all of that got started and what it's like being the rabbi of a congregation of people who love Jesus.
After I became a believer, the Lord put in my heart to go back to school. And remember, I'm a one-eyed dyslexic. School was not going to be fun for me. And when I went to college the first time, I was a very solid, C, B student, very happy. I wasn't a party person. I just enjoyed, I kind of cruised through. And one day I was praying, and the Lord said, you're going to make straight A's. And I'm like, that's not me. And sure enough, I went back to school, and I took a two-year course in a year and a half. and graduated summa cum laude with straight A's. And that was a real testimony to the Lord, because that definitely was not me.
Well, that'll give your parents nachas.
Well, it did. And my mom actually, we had gone out to dinner with him one day, and I had gone to the restroom. My mom looked over to my wife and said, "Tell me, Scott has been abducted by aliens. He does not make straight A's. It's not my son." And it was actually a way in which God was using my situation to reach my mom. And it was amazing to see how that all came into place. We had a very successful wedding business, and the Lord, right after my mom passed away, the Lord put on both my wife and I heart to go into full-time ministry. And we didn't sell the business. We literally gave it over to my sister and brother-in-law, and I started working with Jonathan Burness with Jewish Voice. Then it was Hero Israel Ministries, now Jewish Voice Ministries. We had gone on a number of mission trips with them, and then God had called me out to do work with our local congregation. And we, during that time, we did a large festival in Rosario, Argentina, where we saw literally, the Book of Acts being relived. And then God put on my wife and I heart to start a congregation. We had helped plant a number of congregations. We started one in Macon, Georgia. And then God put on our hearts to start one here on the east side of Atlanta. And that's been it's been a very interesting time. In fact, we're coming up on our 10th anniversary in August, and it's been amazing to see how God has done it. And our congregation is probably a little more unique than some of the other congregations that you might go to, in the fact that we are very much cross-cultural. We have all faiths. We have Hispanic, African-American, Korean, everyone in this congregation, and yet we still have a very large percentage of Jewish people. And also, through our congregation, we do live video streaming. We're one of the few Messianic congregations that do this, and we're actually reaching people around the world. We have people in Ireland that tune in every day. We had a gentleman who lived in England, and he moved to the back to the United States just to be closer to our congregation. So we're seeing a tremendous response happening with that. And as you mentioned, 4 years ago on 7707, my wife and I started a Messianic radio show called The Messianic Hour. It's now a weekly half-hour show that's heard on over 80 stations throughout the U.S. We're also on a Salem station here in Atlanta, Georgia, WNIV. And then people can hear anytime on the web at our website, rabbiscott.com. And we also have all of our archives for our services and teachings as well.
Yeah, and I want to encourage our listeners, if you want to learn more about Beth Adonai and Israel's Harvest, and just a little more about Scott Sekulow and the ministry there in Atlanta, again, you can just go to Rabbi Scott, all one word, rabbiscott.com. And I was there, Scott. It's a really easy and user-friendly site to navigate around. So, folks, encourage you to go there. Well, so 10 years coming up, 10-year anniversary of a congregation. That's always just a blessed milestone. You guys got anything special planned for the day?
It's funny. We're working on that right now. We have so much going on right now with the different events of the congregation that sometimes to plan a special thing, our congregation's been growing. We average about 150 to 170 people a service, plus we have a Hispanic ministry that goes on at the exact same time, fully in Spanish and Hebrew. And so while we're treating it as a milestone, it's a great thing, but we believe that God has even more in store. So we're really focused in on that right now and how we're reaching the world through the internet as well to share the good news of our Messiah.
Well, that's great. Now, we have here in the Metro Detroit area, we also have, as you do in Atlanta, a considerable Jewish community. And we happen to know for a fact that we've got Jewish people who are not yet followers of Yeshua, who have been made aware of our show and they're curious. What would you say, Scott, to some of the Jewish folks who are still kind of not sure and they're listening in? What would you want to say to them today?
It's really simple. They have to ask themselves a question. If Yeshua Jesus is not the Messiah, who is? Because the Torah teaches us that the Messiah will come before the destruction of the Second Temple. We know that happened in 70 AD. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, who is he? Is he a great teacher? Is he just a prophet? Or is he who, in fact, what he said he was, the Messiah of Israel? And if he is, why are we not believing? And you need to research the Scripture yourself. I came to know the Lord without reading the New Testament. It was strictly through the Torah, because all the prophecies about Messiah are in the Torah. It's the fulfillment we see in the renewed covenant, but all that's right there. You know, the Scripture is very clear. The Messiah has to be born in a set place. He has to be born from a set tribe, a set family. So all this is there, and the timing in which he has to come. The question that they have to ask themselves is, and ask God. We can ask for a sign. It says that the Jews will not only ask, but will demand for one. The response that I want to say to you is, when he gives you that answer, you better be ready. And you better not try to do what I did and say, guess what, missed it by that much. Because he'll keep working on you. And that's where the question, if you open your heart, you read the Scripture, it will come alive. And those answers will be there for you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, good word. Absolutely a good word. It's not as though God hasn't given us all those signs. And you know, Scott, the way I present it to people is, if you were summoned to jury duty and you were to sit on a jury on a very important case, you wouldn't be on that jury very long if you refused to come into the courtroom, refused to hear the case, refused to look at the evidence. How can you render a verdict if you're not willing to hear the case? And so I just want to echo what you said, folks. If you're listening and you're kind of sitting on the fence, you're not yet believing or ready to follow Yeshua Jesus, but you're willing to consider the evidence, I'm going to say take Scott's suggestion and start reading the Scriptures. If you want, you can start at Genesis. Hey, if you want, you can start in the Gospel of John. Doesn't matter. The evidence is there, but you have to be a fair-minded juror, and you have to be willing to look at that evidence. Well, Scott, I really want to thank you so much for coming on Jesus Made Me Kosher. And again, folks, you can learn more about Israel's Harvest Ministries. You can learn more about Beth Adonai and the ministry of Scott and Judy Sekulow. Just go to rabbiscott.com and you'll learn more about it, the ministry that they've done around the world, all over the world, in Israel, the former Soviet Union, and South America, Central America. Just encourage you to learn more about their ministry and be praying for the Jewish community in Atlanta, too. There's a lot of Jewish folks there, and it's our heart's desire that all Jew and Gentile come to know Messiah. So, Scott, thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Oh, glad I could help. Anytime.
Lord's blessings on you. Well, folks, you've been listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and we want to invite you to our website as well. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. And let me encourage you to go there. Rabbi Lauren and I have written articles over the years, and you'll probably find, you know, something there that relates to questions that you might be asking. If you'd like to get in touch with us, perhaps you have a question. If you're a Jewish person, you've been kind of questioning and wondering. We welcome you to get in touch with us. You can email us at shema777@aol.com. Again, that's Shema, S-H-E-M-A, 777@aol.com. Visit our website, shema.com. You can also come and visit us. We have a Wednesday evening Bible study every week, including this Wednesday. It's at 6:30, and right now we're going through the books of Samuel, and we're taking our time and really getting under our belts a good knowledge of the history of our Jewish people and how it relates to us, and of course, seeing a beautiful picture of Messiah all through the Scriptures. So invite you to join us on Wednesday evening, 6:30, Saturday morning at 10:30. We meet at Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church on Telegraph Road, just north of Long Lake Road. And so again, get in touch with us if you have questions, or maybe you're a believer in Jesus, you're a Christian, you have Jewish friends, you'd like to arrange for us to meet. We'd be delighted to sit down over a cup of coffee and answer any questions that we can with your Jewish friends. So from Rabbi Lauren and me, Rabbi Glenn, and everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, thanks for tuning in today to Jesus Made Me Kosher. God willing, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.